This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and your smart speaker. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio are presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Dell's New Year event is here with amazing deals on XPS and Alienware laptops with Intel Core processors. Kick off 2022 with incredible savings on accessories like webcams, monitors, gaming headsets, all with free shipping. Just call 800 by Dell. I am Field Yates in for Alan Hahn. As always, Bart Scott is here. Bart, did you have a New Year's resolution you made for 2022?
Nah, because I didn't feel like lying to myself.
Okay, I'm with you as well. At some point, I stopped making those New Year's resolutions because they lasted for about a week.
I ain't going to call no names.
Okay.
But I did see some people that's on this network that I work with, that I play with, like looking into the camera. Like, I can tell that their New Year's resolution is to get in shape.
Wow.
I'm going to wait and see if they still have that picture that they post in March.
Ooh, okay.
They post in March.
All right. Let's see what that's. We call that accountability. It's time now for us to go out to the Goodyear Hotline as we are joined by the great Chris Mortensen. Mort, thanks as always for making some time for us here on the show. And Mort, yesterday was a bizarre scene to say the least. You've been covering the NFL for a long time. Can you recall anything that is even in the same zip code as what took place at MetLife Stadium with Antonio Brown?
I have to say no, but, you know, I'll use what Nick Saban used today. I don't have dementia, but that was a long time ago. Of all the incidents I've covered, this one stands out, but I have a few that I think may have come close to it, but I just can't detail them. And I think what happened yesterday, and I heard Bart talk, on television, I think, or certainly on the radio, just about probably on the radio here with you guys. Bottom line is I haven't seen anything like it. I understand the stories that have been told, maybe some of it spun. You never know. Bottom line is that we do know that he didn't want to go back in the game, that he did go into the game with an ankle injury designation. I think he had five targets, or am I right? You can correct me, Phil.
Five targets, three receptions at the time.
Right, exactly. And that if you saw him running his routes, you would say, okay, he's playing well enough. Refusing to go back into the game and being told, hey, if you're not going back in the game, get out of here. That's one thing. But the display he put on was, you could actually call that conduct detrimental.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. He's going to be cut today, waived today. I wonder, with the claims that we know is coming forward that he was injured, wave injured, listen, his paycheck, he's going to get his game check. It's $61,000 in change. He only makes $1.1 million in base, and that's where the money comes out of. He cost himself, Field, as I'm sure you reminded everybody, about $1 million, or just under $1 million in incentives by doing that. But, I think the other issue, which I've heard Bart speak to, which is, we talked about mental health issues. I'm glad we pushed forward in at least acknowledging it. That being said, and if you've ever had a family member who's had an addiction, I have, going way back, certainly, that person has to want help.
Yep.
Or if he has somebody of influence around him, whether it be family or management team or somebody, resources are available and free from the NFL Players Association and the NFL. And so bottom line is that, Tom Brady spoke rather eloquently of it, but I just listened to a teammate privately, a former teammate of Tom's, and says he's already compartmentalized this as such that AB is no longer part of the team, so he's not going to be concerned, waste any more energy on it.
Well, much like a drill in football, when somebody gets hurt, like you want to make sure that they're okay, but eventually you step over them or they turn the drill to the other side and you have to go the other way. So the reality is, that Antonio Brown, without Chris Godwin being available, those are two major weapons that Tom Brady won't have to try and go for this repeat. Realistically, how big of a blow is this from a football standpoint? And do we think now that maybe Green Bay is the overwhelming favorite to kind of represent the NFC in the Super Bowl?
I wouldn't say overwhelming, and I realize everybody, you got to go to Lambeau Field to beat them. But I've actually seen a couple of teams do that.
Yeah.
So in the playoffs, here's what I'll say is that yesterday's game between the Buccaneers and Jets were memorable for two reasons. And the one that's going to erase what I'm about to point out, the one that's going to erase that for the most part, is Antonio Brown leaving the field in the manner in which he did. But Tom Brady, when the Jets fell short on that stupid two-yard quarterback sneak, when Tom Brady just they were down 14 points when they began his comeback. When Tom Brady took his team down the field and scored, and who scored that touchdown again, Field?
Grayson.
Cyril Grayson, yeah.
Yeah, I knew you. I knew the name, but I wanted you to say it. I'm just telling you, as a voter, all-pro voter, and Phil will laugh at this, and also who votes for the awards, MVP and what have you, what Tom Brady did in that game yesterday, he just raised the stakes in terms of how that vote is going to look on my ballot, because that is going to stay with me when I do fill out that ballot a week from now or a week and 8 days from now, whenever that is. I thought it was, just underscore just how valuable he is and what a great player he is.
Ward, it was Eli Riley, the safety. He was on Philly's practice squad. You give him credit for that opponent?
I understand that. And I actually saw, you'd actually be disappointed with the pass rush effort of some of the Jets that I saw on that. To me, that for all the noise about the call and Zach Wilson taking that, I thought that what the Jets did on defense was dreadful as well.
Mort, I think everybody is wondering what the future looks like for Antonio Brown, with many concerned about his well-being, as yesterday felt like a bit of a cry for help. This may seem like a ridiculous question to ask, but is Antonio Brown maybe going to be on another team in the NFL this season? Or do we think that ship has sailed and this is about 2022 and beyond?
Yeah, I'm not sure that was a cry for help. I'm really not. But I have often said he won't find a team about Antonio or blank, fill in the blank player.
Sure.
And seen myself look kind of stupid for saying that. So I will always say there's a team that's at least going to review it. My feeling is I would make the same statement most people have said. He'll never play in the NFL again. But never is a big word and sometimes a fictitious description.
Well, Mort, how does this affect him as far as – and a lot of people think that this will affect him as far as the voters for the Hall of Fame. I don't know if you have a Hall of Fame vote, but if you do or you don't, what's your opinion as far as Antonio Brown as a Hall of Famer, if we're going to eulogize his career, if we believe that this may be the last straw?
I do not have a Hall of Fame vote. I did sit in 1 year, and I'll leave the comment at that. here's what I'll say. I think it might for some people. Listen, Terrell Owens didn't get in immediately for that reason, because there are some people who believe – some people on that panel and some football people believe that it is still a team sport and how you affect the team should be factored in. Nothing to do off the field. And this is in the guidelines for Hall of Fame. Like, anything you do off the field, I'll point out Lawrence Taylor as an example, all the things he did off the field and other players, that's not to be factored in. That's different than baseball, by the way. Off the field matters are to be taken into consideration. Whereas Pro Football Hall of Fame, not. I think it will affect how people eventually come around to vote for him. But that's a long ways off.
Mort, yesterday was yet another disappointing performance for the New York Giants, who had zero offense whatsoever, to put it kindly. I think a lot of people are asking about where's the hope for this franchise going forward. And if you were to assess what the franchise has to offer going forward, they do have two first-round picks. But besides that, where should Giants fans find optimism right now?
I will say they need to put everything on pause until we see what happens with the general manager decision on Dave Gettleman and who replaces him. I think that people, we all know, I know I covered the league when the NFL kind of intervened when there was a split in the family on how the organization should be run, and they helped the Giants find George Young, Hall of Fame general manager. And if you get that type of person, things can change in a hurry. Joe Judge, you know, I wasn't a big fan of how he presented himself, and I also thought for a special teams guy, you know, for them to have any special teams mistakes as they have, yeah, you can pick at that. Not sure that we can now blame it all on Jason Garrett. I thought that the move last year, firing Mark Colombo, and I understand maybe he had to at some point, based off of something that was exchanged between the two men, Colombo and Joe Judge. I think that anytime the line coach and the offensive coordinator, they have to be together, joined at the hip. And I thought that was where the problems went. It really bothers me what I'm seeing from the Giants. So I'm not going to give anybody any hope, but I'll put it on pause until I see who they bring in to oversee the operation and maybe even have to discuss some other issues.
Now, I'm looking at, you know, the landscape, and one of the disappointing losses for me was Kansas City with all that was on the line. You expect, you know, the heart of a champion to come out against Cincinnati, but they didn't get it done. They let Jamar Chase go crazy. And now they have to deal with the fact that the Tennessee Titans own the number one spot. With that being said, you know, Derrick Henry or King Henry has been practicing with the team. This will give him an extra week of rest and being able to get his legs under him. Are Tennessee potentially now the most dangerous team in the AFC with how they play football and the fact that they may have a fresh King Henry?
Potentially, but let's also clarify some things. Derrick Henry is running straight ahead. It's not at full speed, and it's not necessarily cutting. In fact, I was told he was not cutting. So I don't think he wouldn't be playing Week 18. That's my understanding. And they're going to need these 2 or 3 weeks that they'll get to see if he can get up and running after they, I'm assuming, enjoy their first round bye, given them, that they'll beat the Texans, who kind of have surprised a couple people this year. But Mike Vrabel is a great coach, they have, you know, they play football the way you want to play it in December, January, and February if you get there. Not that it's going to be cold in SoFi Stadium this year. And Derrick Henry coming back at peak form would be, yes, I would say watch out for them. I wouldn't rule out the Chiefs. I mean, as far as, you know, you talking about the Chiefs or the Bengals, I mean, I'm not going to comment on anything that any of my colleagues said about that, okay? And I'm down 12 pounds, Bart, so don't be picking on me.
Oh, Ripley's stealing sex appeal, Morty. That's what I'm talking about.
No. Hey, Jamar Chase is embarrassing a lot of teams. I had one of the best personnel evaluators in his last year with LSU, which is, you know, they won the national championship with Joe Burrow as quarterback, who after a Vanderbilt game, which I kind of made fun of him, said, this is the best receiver I've evaluated since Randy Moss. And he's even maybe more complete in some areas. And I laughed at him, said, it's Vanderbilt. He said, well, he could have had 8 touchdowns today. He was there in person. So I think Jamar Chase is going to be doing the historical things for a long time. I think the Chiefs are still very, very dangerous, and I think they'll be right there in the end, and it'll be interesting to see how it turns out.
So you talked about Jamar Chase more. Let's talk about the Bengals, though, because they're a team that is certainly the buzz of the NFL this morning. In some ways, it feels like they are ahead of schedule. In other ways, it feels like they are right on time with an ascending young quarterback, a defense that was enhanced dramatically in free agency. And it also feels like their confidence is sky high right now. What do you make of their chances? Like, is it too soon to be wondering whether they could win a couple of playoff games in the AFC?
I had jumped on the bandwagon. I mean, you know, if you look at, you know, they've had some, you know, good, really good wins.
Yeah.
Then they had that stretch there where they lost to the Browns
and the Jets.
But everybody, it seems like everybody's had one of those games where you lose to the Jets or Jaguars or something. And then the Chargers and 49ers. But I got to admit, you know, listen, Duke Tobin runs their personnel department. I guess the point I'm going to make is they always have a way of finding talent. Mm-hmm. But they found the quarterback also, and I think they're very capable. Yeah, I mean, listen, to me – they're the team that I was starting the bandwagon. When I jumped on the bandwagon, that's the team that I was jumping on. So I agree with you. Helping that pass rush through free agency was big for them, and the quarterback is the real deal.
Well, more tonight on Monday Night Football, it could be the last game at home for Ben Roethlisberger, as you know he's alluded to. But do you think this is the last game for Baker Mayfield as a starting quarterback for Cleveland?
Okay, I'm just going to say I do not think it's the last game for Baker Mayfield. I think that you have to have the solution rather than creating yet another problem. So I think that Baker Mayfield will be back next year under the option year contract. And I do not think that Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson is going to fall into the Browns' lap. That's an opinion. It's based on some fact or informed opinion. And, you know, Baker, you know, listen, when he's healthy and they're playing their game, he can win football games at a playoff level. We remember last year in the playoffs, they almost beat Kansas City, didn't they?
Yeah.
With Baker
they
Mayfield?
Week one,
yeah, no, yes, they, yes, yes, they almost beat. So if you told me that, boy, they could get Deshaun Watson, that'd be a different story. But
they got a lot of talent
don't.
That and, they can give up, though. They got some linemen. They got some. They got two of everything.
No. Deshaun Watson has a say in this, Bart. He has a no-trade clause. He wants to go to the Miami Dolphins. Do you think that after Tua's performance yesterday, that is going to kick up again?
Well, I do know that Ciara is tired of singing at the Fish Mart in Seattle.
Ah, that's a good point there. Yeah.
Well, I agree, but I'm not sure that Russell's going to pick Cleveland as a spot. You know, and Sierra, I understand that. I'm just saying, in the Browns, I love them. Their history, there's a franchise, all that stuff. But and they have talent, but I don't think any of those three-star quarterbacks are going to say, yes, I want to go to the Browns, and all of them have control of their own destiny.
Mort, I think we should end it here. You just brought up, or you both just mentioned, Russell Wilson. Yesterday, there seemed to be some emotion acknowledging that perhaps it was his final game as a Seahawk at home. Is there a more fascinating team this offseason than Seattle with the possibility of dramatic changes?
I'm sure there is, just because I hate to. it's going to be interesting. I thought, you know, last year, you know, they only had two draft picks last year, didn't they? What was it? It was very limited. John Schneider, the GM, if we assume everybody, John Schneider and Pete Carroll are going to be in place, and that's no guarantee. But I know John Schneider would prefer the Jimmy Johnson method, where you have multiple draft picks, because you're going to make mistakes in the draft. So if you're going to get multiple draft picks, Russell Wilson is going to be your best asset. But you also have an answer as to who's going to play quarterback. Pete Carroll is 70 years old. He's the youngest 70-year-old man I know, I think. And I don't, you know, they're going to want to play for a championship. But they've got to still have a quarterback, and they've got to have assets to build that roster.
He is the great Chris Mortensen. We always appreciate you making some time for us. Mort, enjoy the final week of the regular season. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Will do. Happy New Year.
Happy
Take
New Year.
Care,
thanks, Mort.
This is Barton Hahn coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. So we talked about it with Mort, and Joe Judge went on a long, long rant after yesterday's embarrassing loss to the Bears. Are things unraveling for the second-year coach? That's next here on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Do I have some straight talk?
Yes, you sure do.
Let's do some straight talk. Cutting the price of your wireless bills feels good, really good. Actually, it feels great. You should try it. So cut your bill by switching to Straight Talk Wireless, now offering our 45 Silver Unlimited plan with 5G gigabytes of hotspots and nationwide 5G on America's largest, most dependable networks. The $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise, a month equals 30 days. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G compatible device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speeds may vary. Back after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Steen Lisi, this just in, one day after receiver Antonio Brown took off some of his gear and left during the Jets game. Tampa coach Bruce Arians was asked about that incident. He denied that Brown told him he was too injured to keep playing yesterday. Arians refused to get into details of his discussion with Brown. The Bucs are expected to officially release him at 4 Eastern today. If Brown clears waivers, he'll become a free agent. Browns and Steelers meet on Monday Night Football tonight, 8 Eastern, ESPN TV and ESPN2. Steelers needing a win to keep their slim playoff hopes alive. The NFL flexed the Chargers-Raiders game to Sunday night. Both teams 9-7. Winner advances to the postseason. Sources tell ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski the Nets prepping for guard Kyrie Irving to make his season debut at Indiana Wednesday. The Nets won't have Irving for home games because he hasn't yet complied with the COVID-19 vaccine mandate in New York City.
Bart and Han and ESPN Radio returns. They're also on ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and your smart speaker. Bart and Han and ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests on the Bart and Han Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional auto parts people that you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Bart's got us here, as he always is, and I am Field Yates filling in for Alan Hahn. And Bart, it's time for us to play a little game of audio files.
The audio file. The audio file.
Had to get the gong right for you.
Let's go. Audio files, and we start here with Giants head coach Joe Judge, who went on an 11-minute monologue after the game yesterday. We decided to spare you most of it.
The toughest thing to change in a team, the toughest thing to change in a club is the way people think. You understand that? That's the toughest thing. You can get new players. You can have them in your damn locker room all you want. You got to change how people think. And you got to change how they believe in what you're doing. And they got to trust the process. And that's a lot easier said than done when they're looking up right now and you got one game left and the most games you're going to win is 5 this season. Okay? But I guarantee you this. Those men are going to walk in on Wednesday and be ready to roll. We're going to practice hard on Wednesday. We're going to practice hard on Thursday. We're going to practice hard on Friday. Okay? And we're going to play for each other on the field next week. If we don't play well, every fan has a right to boo my ass out of the stadium. You got that?
Bart, I'm not even going to ask you a question. I'm just going to let you take it from here. Your thoughts on this quote.
I mean, the arrogance of this dude, man. Like, I understand we get a lot of these coaches that coach with Bill Belichick a lot of credit. Like, they see how the secret sauce is made. But by the time Joe Judge got there, the secret sauce had already been made, right? He didn't get there when he was building it from the ground up and Drew Bledsoe was there and they established the Patriot way. He went there. So, like, these guys come here and they think that they can catch lightning in a bottle. They can come here and they can talk a certain way and try and inspire while they're speaking during these press conferences. But at some point, New York is not New England. New York is the show me state, even though Missouri has that title. And you got to put some proof to the pudding, bro. At the end of the day, you talk about, you know, to change the mentality. Well, we don't know if you're the man that can change the mentality, that can change the way of thinking. Because you've been here 2 years, and they don't seem like they're thinking the same way that you want them to think. Maybe you're not the man for the job. Never leading a group of men, only coaching special teams, never being a coordinator, never really having that responsibility to lead an entire team. You ran everybody out. You have more coaches on your staff than anybody in football. You hired everybody you want. You fired whoever you want. They gave you an autonomy. They gave you the ability to bring in the free agents that you want. And yet, the result is worse or equal to what it was last year with Saquon Barkley, with Kenny Galladay, with going out and getting peppers and making trades and bringing in everybody. You're running out of people to blame. You've been pointing the finger. This guy, that guy, this player, that player. When are you going to point the thumb? Because it may be time to get him up out of here, and you may be able to say, I know that the mayors and the Tishes don't want to look like an organization that is always hiring coaches and never giving the ability or the time to turn things around. But at the end of the day, you look like a once proud organization that has lost its way. And I don't know if Gettleman, well, we know Gettleman's not the guy for the job. Well, he hired Joe Judge. So are you going to trust his judgment? I don't know.
We could probably do an entire show just on this rant. We'll move forward, though, to Aaron Rodgers, who had a slightly calmer take on the Packers clinching home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
We're happy with the one seed. A lot of us were checking out the game before, the Cardinal-Cowboy game before we went out to pregame warm-up. So saw Kyler run around the edge and ice it and knew we just had to get a win and we'd be the one seed.
The Packers-Ferrari one seed. Is there... let me ask you this. Is the Packers having a number one seed and playing in Green Bay throughout the playoffs more significant than the Titans potentially having the number one seed and having Derrick Henry get an extra week of rest in the AFC? Which one matters more?
I think Derrick Henry coming back and having a week's rest, and if he's able, just his presence out there and what he demands and what you know how defenses change because how he dictates the defense that you have to play. Fran Rodgers, I mean, we just saw in short order that we saw people go into Green Bay, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and win. We've seen in previous years them lose at home. So you don't have to lean to some miracle, something we've never seen in our lifetime. We've seen Lambeau not have the same advantage that it used to because it's not as cold air as it used to be, right? You talk about the hills of the coils are the field is heated, the benches are heated. So at the end of the day, the only people that's really cold out there is the fans.
Those fans, though, last night, there was like five guys who are going shirtless together. Like, who are you trying to prove this to, by the way?
Yeah.
Like, who are you trying to impress? If I were at that game, first of all, I wouldn't be at that game. I would never go to a game where it's minus 5 degrees down. But if I did, I would have a sleeping bag on top of another sleeping bag on top of like five parkas, Bart. I am not tough. That does not surprise you one bit.
Yeah, I think a couple of these guys, probably lost their nipples to amputation.
Yeah, they might have this morning, man. Other than that, they had quite a few beers in their system before the game began. The incident of the day that everybody was still talking about is Antonio Brown and how he had quite a moment on the field at MetLife Stadium yesterday as he ripped off his shoulder pads and his shirt. He went storming through the end zone, trying to rile up the crowd. Tom Brady says now is not the time to criticize, but rather show compassion.
I think everybody should, hopefully do what they can to help him in ways that, he really needs it. We all love him. We care about him deeply. We want to see him be at his best. And, unfortunately, it won't be with our team, but we have a lot of friendships that will last. And most important thing about football are the relationships with your friends and your teammates, and they go beyond the field. And I think everyone should be very compassionate and empathetic toward some very difficult things that are happening.
Bart, there's a human side of this story, obviously, and I'm not sure anybody truly is as invested in Antonio Brown, at least in the NFL, as Tom Brady is.
Had him living in his house.
Yeah.
I mean, he stood on the table for him when he was a member of the Patriots. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Julian Edelman, are you in shape? Because who knows? Tom would make that call. He wants somebody that can pick up the system and the intricate nonverbal communications. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe Edelman's available. But, at this point, we're just criticizing Antonio Brown, the football player, and the shenanigans. Like, the mental health aspect, that's something he has to deal with. But, you talk about affecting your team when they need you the most. It's just unfortunate. And, he's been known as a selfish player. And, that's something he has to wear because if he loves football so much, he just cost himself, I believe, the ability to ever play it again.
And Bart, I think it's a fair conversation about what this means for the Bucs on the field, right? Like the off-the-field stuff and the mental health that Antonio Brown may or may not be battling right now is a different and a very important conversation. But as far as the Bucs wide receiver group is concerned now, the number two wideout on this team is either Breshad Perriman,
yep,
Cyril Grayson, Scotty Miller,
yep,
Tyler Johnson. These are not
the
names.
I think the second one is Gronkowski, and they may have to start working in OJ the Juice Man and try and change their identity and go to more of a bigger set and see if they can take advantage of teams that way.
Yeah, but just the bottom line compared to where we were 3 months ago when the Bucs were putting up points at will and they had Leonard Fournette and Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown and Mike Evans and Gronk and Cameron Bray and O.J. Howard. And the list goes on and on and on. It feels like the players were appropriately slotted back then. Like, you don't want Scotty Miller to be your number two wide receiver, but you're okay if he's your number four speed threat.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, he might need to be your number two wide receiver or one of your top pass catchers. All of a sudden, the Bucs' fortunes look a lot different on paper compared to where they were just a few months ago. We talked about the Packers earlier on with Aaron Rodgers. Their former coach, Mike McCarthy, had this to say about his message to the team after they lost to the Cardinals yesterday.
Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, we just had an excellent opportunity to get to 12-4 and really felt that doing a number of good things coming into it. And just like anything in the game, you evaluate everything. You have game plans for everything, and we're well aware of the things we need to work on and what our statistics show as far as in the area of officiating. This crew is weekly, you know, high in officiating numbers. And so we just, you know, tried to really illustrate that all week. But I think the timing of our penalties for us personally was something that was challenge for us to overcome.
What? It sounds like he's pointing the finger at the officiating.
Yeah, I'm with
and
you.
And he say we need to work on some things. How about what you need to work on, which is clock management? Quit getting ball for the banana in the tailpipe with Kingsbury stepping out there, going forward on fourth down. You surprised and using your timeout that you could have utilized later in the game that was very, very costly. That's a you problem. That's a management problem. Quit pointing the fingers and point the thumb. Quit trying to make everybody involved in some of the mistakes that you make.
And by the way, there were a couple calls yesterday that maybe were sketchy by the refs, but it wasn't like there were 10 and the Cowboys lost a game on like the last second of the game, right? Like, they were down by two scores with just a couple minutes to go, and like they needed kind of everything to go right. I don't know why this isn't the case more frequently in the NFL, but if I were ever a head coach, my message after a game would be the exact same if I won or if I won.
Yep.
If I won, you credit the players. If you lose, and by the way, you always give respect to your opponents. If you lose, you just say, we need to be better. It's not that hard, right? Like, no one's going to fault you for saying we need to be better, but instead sort of finding a way to turn this into the refs kind of jobbed us yesterday. I mean, the refs may have jobbed you on that play late in the game where Chase Edmonds appeared to have fumbled, but if you had not fumbled your timeouts earlier in the half, you could have challenged that play and given your team a little bit more life. The Cowboys are still in good shape in the big picture. They have won their division, but that path to being the NFC's representative in the Super Bowl got a little bit more difficult as they moved down the standings with a loss last night. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. For protection on the road and on the water, see how much you can save in as little as 3 minutes at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. So a week from tonight, we'll get an Alabama-Georgia rematch. What do we learn on New Year's Eve night? That's next on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
To this, Phil.
You sure could. Barton,
you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of potty words up in this one.
A lot of potty words. So it is week 18 of the regular season, Bart. Now, I think some people love to do who's the MVP after 6 weeks, after 8 weeks, heck, after 2 weeks. One of the most tired conversations going, in my opinion. But it's week 18, so we can sort of talk about some of these awards. And Aaron Rodgers seemingly is the front runner for the NFL's MVP. Do you feel as though he locked up a back-to-back MVP award for his performance last night, playing marvelous football again and leading the Packers to their third straight season of at least 13 wins and once again the number one seed in the NFC?
Well, I think he did, right? I thought it was a two-player race between Tom Brady, because we know, like, as much as we want to say it, we won't see a running back get it or a receiver get it unless they break historical numbers and 16 weeks, not 17 weeks. So if King Henry would never got hurt, remember where he was before Jonathan Taylor became the darling of the NFL. Mm. And Cooper Kupp is nice, but he would have had to already be at 2,000 for us to take that seriously. It's always going to go to a quarterback. It's a quarterback award. It used to be a running back award back in the day because running back was the biggest determining factor in if you're going to win Super Bowls or not. But the game has changed now. It's about throwing the football, and nobody throws the football more than a quarterback. He gets the ball every time, so it's got to be a quarterback. And, you know, for a second, it was guys that were still in there, like Kyler Murray, but he couldn't stay healthy. He missed a month, and the team still did well. it's Aaron Rodgers. And how funny is this that Aaron Rodgers is probably going to win back-to-back MVPs, and probably if he wins the Super Bowl or not, probably going to drop the mic and say peace out.
At least to Green Bay, right? It seems like his days are numbered after this season. We'll see where he plays next if he does continue playing in 2022. I feel like the NFL needs to consider adding another award and making the MVP just a quarterback award. Yep. Who's the most valuable quarterback, and then the most valuable everybody else? Because there are years in which the most valuable player goes to a quarterback. The most valuable player goes the offensive player of the year goes to a quarterback as well. Like, it feels unjust that one of Cooper Kupp or Jonathan Taylor's seasons this year is going to go by the wayside without some sort of individual acknowledgement other than an all-pro pick and a Pro Bowl pick. Shouldn't there be another award?
So is it not a offensive MVP award?
That's what it is. We should probably figure out a way to – is that what it is? Like, that's the third
one. We should
one.
Have offensive MVP like and a defensive MVP and then the overall MVP, because right now, if you had to pick, is it Jonathan Taylor or Cooper Kupp?
I think I would go with Cooper Kupp. I know that Jonathan Taylor carries a larger load because he's carrying the football like 25 times a game. I just feel like Cooper Kupp's season is more unique relative to the history of all other wide receivers compared to Jonathan Taylor. He's having a great year, but we saw King Henry do something like this last year and the year before as well.
Yeah, but we've seen Calvin Johnson have years like this, and you look at some of the other guys that's behind Cooper Kupp. You know, if Ja'Marr Chase has another 200-yard receiving game, he'll be, you know, right there probably. I don't know where he is now. He's got to be at like 1,500, right?
He's getting close, yeah.
So if he's at like 1,500, he's a rookie. He gets another 200. He'll be right behind Cooper Kupp. So, yeah, it's not too many people behind Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor closing in on 20 touchdowns this season as well. He has been awesome for the Indianapolis Colts, despite the fact that they did lose yesterday. That was the first game they've lost all year in which he has run for at least 100 yards. The bottom line is we need more awards, and not just awards that favor quarterbacks. They get enough shine. It's time for running backs, wide receivers, others to get their love. More Barton Hahn on ESPN Plus in just 10 seconds. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and your smart speakers. Field Yates filling in for Alan Hahn. I am joining Bart Scott, who is always here every single day of the week. And Bart, College Football's Play of the Month is brought to you by Dr. Pepper. College Football Bowl season is here, and fans are hyped. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one that fans deserve. And as you well know, Georgia and Alabama are set for a title game rematch. They played just a few weeks back. Georgia lost their first game of the season against Alabama, which effectively put Alabama into the playoffs. What did we learn on New Year's Eve about these two teams, and what might it mean for their rematch, which is scheduled for next week?
Well, I just learned that the Big Ten need to just shut the hell up. I mean, listen, I'm from Michigan. Man,
you're from
proud.
Detroit. You better be careful now.
And I'm proud. I was proud that they got there. But that was a big – listen, if I was to die tomorrow, I'm going to ask 12-pound – 7 ounce baby Jesus for that time back that I wasted. Just give me the 3 hours I wasted watching the Michigan game back. Let me go to Vegas. Let me go have some fun, man. That was the biggest waste of time. It was so clear that Georgia was a much better team, much more physical team. And we always talk about the speed in which, you know, the SEC and the Big Ten and what is it, Big 12? Is it even a Big 12 left? I was just so disappointed. You know, I tell you what, you talk about the physicality that Georgia can play with. You know, they showed that they can air it out a little bit, granted against Michigan. But I wonder how this rematch will go, because it's rare that you have rematches and the adjustments to the adjustments. But I think we all agree that these are the two best teams in the league right now this year. It'll be exciting to see how Nick Saban and Smart kind of changes their philosophy. And if, you know, Georgia can learn from their mistakes and not give up these big explosive plays to the Heisman winner.
You know, a lot of people felt like one of the downfalls for Georgia in the SEC championship game was Stetson Bennett, their quarterback, who the mailman who sometimes is frustrating and maddening. Do you feel like what we saw last Friday from Stetson Bennett, easy enough for me to say, was it enough for you to trust him that, like, there should be no conversation about him not playing every snap for Georgia next Monday night? Or should he be on a short leash again?
He should be on a short leash because, I mean, like, he can't repeat the mistakes that he made in the championship game. And, yeah, he was able to air it out. But, I mean, you look at some crazy plays from Michigan corners, like just stopping and looking up for the ball and the receiver still running. They gave up some massive plays. You know, if those are interceptions – from Alabama, then I got to sit him down because it ain't clicking. I need him to be play all quarterback. I don't need him just take shots. I need him to be able to move the ball down the field. And I'm listen, everybody got a short leash because we can't waste time wasting time. You know, because you know the pedigree of Alabama. They're a team that can play and make the necessary adjustments. You got to have a different game plan, and you got to be willing to have a game plan for both quarterbacks in case that tonight's just not Bennett's night.
You know, I was just thinking about this because you said a few minutes ago, like, the Big Ten just got to chill. How did you, a man from Detroit, Michigan, slide through the cracks? Michigan, Michigan State, in your home state. Ohio State's right there.
Yatesy, now you're speaking my language right now.
What happened?
I committed to Michigan State, and actually Nick Saban. And at that time, Bobby Williams was the guy who recruited me from Detroit. I committed there as a junior, and I was supposed to go there with Antonio Gates, and that was the year that Larry Foote and Anthony Adams went to Penn State. Well, people know him now as Spice. I know him as Anthony Adams. We played Little League together. Ron Johnson went to Minnesota. Chester Taylor went to Toledo. You know, it was like eight of us that all grew up together that all ended up in NFL. Four of us, you know, ended up on the Ravens. Javon Hunter went to Notre Dame as a draft pick. I committed there. Didn't pass my test. Went there, passed my test. They had gave my scholarship away. They offered it back, and I told Nick Saban to hold my you-know-what. I told him, D's, you know what, because they didn't believe in me. Antonio Gates was actually my roommate, supposed to be my roommate, and he ended up at Kent, but he actually went to Michigan State to play basketball and football as he was Mr. Basketball in Michigan and a blue-chip All-American as well, like myself.
Wow, how about that? All right, so what could have been a dynasty? That's a great story. It's a dynasty that could have been at Michigan State. Instead, the Salukis got the best of Bart Scott, who, of course, you had a great career there, was led to your NFL career as well. Looking forward to that game next Monday night. Again, these two teams feel like they are fixtures in the college football playoff, none more so than Alabama. It is just ridiculous what Nick Saban has done. Can you believe this is the sixth time in 8 years of the four-team playoff format that Nick Saban and Alabama are playing in the national championship game? It just defies all odds. I have no idea how that happens.
And just think, Phil, if I would have went to Michigan State and Antonio would have stayed, maybe Nick Saban wouldn't have never went to Alabama and be able to haunt the entire football playoffs. So maybe it's my fault and Antonio Gates' fault that we didn't commit and he would have stayed longer.
Man, what could have been dynasty? Here's a question. Are the Giants the most disappointing team in the NFL this season? More on Bart Hahn on ESPN Radio.